This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
We have Mike Aragon, who is the Senior Vice President at Content at Twitch. Mike, I'm bummed that you can't visit our office because Gary's got a really cool Twitch studio outside his office. Mike oversees the company's global broadcaster partnerships, esports, Twitch Studios content development, and marketing. Prior to being at Twitch, he was at Alation and PlayStation. During his 8 years at Sony, he managed PlayStation's network digital video, music, and content services and for consumers in more than 30 countries. I'm sure Dubai, where I hailed from, was one of them. Mike, welcome to the show. And great to see Twitch and everything it's doing in the industry. We're excited to have you on today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So Mike, I think, it's probably for the audience that's watching, Twitch is a brand that they've heard of at this point or, you know, but may not know as much. So why don't we just start with the hardcore Twitch 101. Just want to make sure we ground everybody, even though it's one of the leading brands and platforms in the space. And thank you for being on, brother.
Yeah, no, thanks. Good to see you, Gary. Back in 2017, when I joined Twitch, I had to certainly explain to a lot of people what Twitch was, especially my mom and my dad. I didn't quite get it. Today, we are a lot more mainstream, but I do think that there's still some folks who, you know, I've heard about it or kids have heard about it. Or they heard about it through their kids. But at Twitch, we describe ourselves as a leading service and community for multiplayer entertainment. And the way we describe multiplayer entertainment really is about live interactive video and then the shared experiences that happen with the community and millions of people around the world. So, you know, the way we think about Twitch is it's not a lean back experience where you're just kind of leaning back and consuming content. It really is a lean forward experience where you're leaning in and engaging with a community around your favorite game streamer, or you're watching Thursday Night Football with your favorite fans or your favorite streamer. But it's that lean in experience that really happens because people are watching content and sharing this passion with other people that have similar tastes. They do this a lot in chat on Twitch. So chat is the conduit that connects the content creators and the content and the fans. And, you know, a lot of other services obviously have chat as well. I think that the difference on Twitch though, is there really is a dialogue that happens between the community, each other, and also the community and the fans. And so it's that, so we really see ourselves as a video platform, but it really is a community that brings people together. Twitch right now, we are mostly game content. So people watching other people play video games or watching esports. But if you think about the mechanism for people wanting live content, having those real-time interactive experiences that gaming provides, it really has started to extend into a lot of new categories. Sports, music are big ones, just chatting, which Gary, I noticed that you were streaming the other day and just chatting. Yep. Is, when I got here, it was almost non-existent in 4 years. It's now definitely a top two. Sometimes it's the number one category, but it's just a huge category of people like you streaming your passion or, yep. You know, we've got people doing talk shows. We've got people doing all kinds of different things that communities are interested in. And that has been a part of Twitch that has been growing and it's been quite phenomenal to see.
You know, actually you touched on where I wanted to go, but I want you to expand on like, why do you think people are watching Twitch? Like what are some of the themes and go a little bit deeper on them?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, especially today in this world where people are still sheltering in place, but even before that, you know, what we have found is that Twitch is a place where people want to connect with the community, right? It's again, not just a lean back, I want to watch content, but they want to make that connection. They want to connect with people who have similar interests. And so when you watch a lot of streams, especially those that have been growing over time, it's really kind of the same group of people. It's almost like a group of friends coming and enjoying talking with each other on chat, but also talking with the content creators. And I think that's why they want that passion. They want that community. They want that sort of being with like-minded people. It's almost like they're watching content or enjoying an experience with their squad. We sort of think of it as like a virtual party, like people are on, they just want to go hang out with somebody. And that's kind of the experience. Then we also have another subset of folks who just love watching people do what they do, the best in the world. You know, my daughter got a 17-year-old daughter who plays soccer and she loves to watch Rose Lavelle soccer videos and Leo Messi videos. And it's some people who just want to watch Stroud, one of the best gamers in the world, just do his thing and see how this guy is so amazing. because he is. And some of these folks are just the best in their world. And others are just funny and entertaining. And others are, you know, they've got all kinds of different people. We've got the high skilled gamers. We've got the gamers who just have a great personality and build community. And then we got some folks who just want to learn from the best. But it really is about that community and the connection with each other that makes Twitch very, very unique in everything that we do.
Actually, Michael, from my own curiosity, what were you doing right before Twitch, and what kind of like triggered you to make the jump? There's a lot of executives watching right now, and I think you might be able to help them with that. And I think that might be an interesting question.
Yeah. So to take a little bit of a step back, when I was, I was born and raised in Albuquerque, New Mexico, spent all my life there. My parents were, my dad worked for the phone company, middle-class family. But didn't have a ton of perspective outside of, Albuquerque. We had traveled a bit, and my first job was at Intel. And, because Intel at the time in Albuquerque was a huge manufacturing facility, I went and worked there and kind of got into the tech space first, but decided, that wasn't quite my thing. I wanted to go get my MBA. And when I was coming out of my MBA, got into I worked for Booz Allen at the time, had a big communication, media, yep, and technology firm. Michael Wolff, who I'm sure you've heard of, was an offer partner, and worked for him because they were at the time, the sales pitch was the convergence of media and technology. So I worked with him and other partners on a bunch of projects in that space where media companies were starting to think about digital and what the impact was going to be. We decided to move out in New York when we had our twins, and just said, hey, we want to live a little bit closer to Albuquerque or home. And that ended up being Los Angeles, and worked at a studio for a bit at Sony Pictures and helped them with a lot of their initial digital transformation, because this is 2004, 2005. And, the studios were trying to figure this out. Right around that time, PlayStation 2 was they were deprecating PlayStation 2, launching PlayStation 3. And one of the big gaps was we didn't have a very good platform, a PlayStation platform. And so they hired a whole group of us to go think about what's the business model for PlayStation Network, and how do we build experiences, digital experiences for games and online games and community playing, but also other things like media. And so I went and I did that for a few years, and that's how I got into gaming.
Got it.
But my role at PlayStation was really about gaming is at our core, but like, what are other adjacent things that gamers want to do? They want to watch Netflix, they want to watch movies, they want to listen to music. And so my job was running those services and really thinking about the adjacent interests of a gamer and bringing that to PlayStation. And that helped PlayStation 4 get back to where it was, which was number one. And at the time I had met Peter Chernin and his crew, and decided to do a stint in the startup world. And one of the things that Peter was trying to do is they had bought an asset called Crunchyroll, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And back in 2015-ish, and Crunchyroll is still quite popular. It's, very niche, but it's one of the most popular and sort of dedicated services for people who want to watch anime. But the thesis at Chernin at the time was anime was great and had millions of subs. I think it was the top eight or the number eight subscription service at the time, kind of behind MLB and Netflix and others. But we all knew that there were sort of diminishing returns in terms of the audience just because it was niche. And so one of the things that I had always been able to do well in my past jobs was figure out, okay, what is this base business and how do you expand by bringing adjacent content or adjacent services to make it bigger? And so the thesis was, can we take these several million Crunchyroll subscribers who love anime, add content that's adjacent to anime, sci-fi and adult, animation and other things, and really expand the base of the audience there. And so did that, and the company ended up selling to AT&T, and they're all doing great. But at that point I had met Emmett Shear, who's our CEO, and Kevin Lin, who's one of our founders. And this is I think maybe a year and a half after Amazon had purchased them, and they were under a little bit of pressure to do the same thing. Gaming is always going to be the core of what we do, but we know gamers have a lot of adjacent interests and a lot of different things. And so they wanted somebody with my experience to be able to take the service and really expand without losing the essence and the core of who we were, which is gaming, but to try to bring in the new type of content and also map, lay out a sort of a strategy, a content strategy, so that we can do things in a very Twitch unique way, which is really around the interactivity of bringing the community in. And so that's kind of sort of the quick 3-minute version of how I got to where I am at Twitch.
Talk to me about the creators.
Yeah. So, well, we've got, gosh, it's grown immensely since I've been there in my 4 short years, but we've got about 4 million creators at any given point in a month that stream on Twitch. Right now, a majority of them are game streamers. So they are playing video games and they're broadcasting it and interacting with their fans. But the creators have started to, you know, as with any community, there's a lot of organic growth that happens on these communities. And so we've had just chatting pop up. So all of a sudden we just had people wanting to talk about politics and sports and music and a bunch of other things. We had people start to stream cooking streams because they were passionate about it. One of the really funny experiments that we did early on is we said, hey, what if we start airing Bob Ross? And people are like, God, Bob Ross, it's just so kind of random, right? It, like 1970s painter. But the thing that resonated with Bob Ross and why he was so popular on Twitch is I think he was the first person who at scale, or, you know, broadcast to many, many thousands of, or millions of fans, his passion was painting. And a lot of Twitch people kind of saw that. They're like, well, I have this passion for gaming and I kind of see this guy's passion. And that's why Bob Ross resonated on Twitch and continues to resonate today. And so the streamers are a pretty diverse group of folks. I mean, we've got, when you think about the premium streamers, we've got a lot of, we've got deals with the NBA and the NFL, really big content. So those are content creators. Got deals with media companies. And then we've got deals with just a whole slew of creators who sometimes they just play video games. Sometimes they do a mix of different things. We've got creators who are doing cooking shows. We've got fitness shows now. It's literally just grown into so many different things that you would think that where creators want to create content and share it with their fans. And that's the basic creators right now. It's hard to kind of wrap it all up into one because when you've got millions of creators, there's a lot of different things that are happening on Twitch, but those are sort of the big buckets of categories that are growing on Twitch right now.
Hey, Gary, I'm just going to chime in and ask a question. Mike, I've been, you know, obviously with COVID happening, watch time on Twitch is up tremendously, but it's so entertaining. Like I've been on there myself. Yeah. And I just wanted to ask, like, for the brands that are listening today, like what's the best way for them to be part of an authentic experience so that the you can preserve the entertaining way that people love to interact with Twitch?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of brands who have been joining Twitch. And I think, you know, one of the things that we've done is we built a lot of O&O properties. So I run a team called Twitch Rivals, which is basically an esports tournament platform. And a lot of brands have wanted to attach to that because esports is growing and big. And we can, you know, we have a lot of great streamers who participate in it. But I think it's just like we have a very young, engaged audience, and 39% of the people on our service, you know, don't have access to traditional TV. I mean, they're watching pretty much everything online. And so there's just a huge base of folks that, you know, these brands can reach on Twitch, but that they can't reach anywhere else. But, you know, I would say that we've just, you know, even if you think that gaming is like all we do, it really isn't. There's so many other different, really interesting, different types of content that people are engaging with and that's brand safe and that we think would be a great opportunity for them to tap into an audience that they're not going to be able to reach anywhere else.
And how have the numbers been in COVID? What can you share with us about I mean, just, we know the numbers are the numbers, but like what trends have you seen and how do you think it's going to sustain?
Yeah. So, gosh, you know, we have grown immensely since the COVID thing hit. I think we're up to now 4 million unique streamers every month. In Q1, we had 17.5 million daily active viewers, which is a lot more than last year. We've got about 1.5 million people that are tuning into Twitch on average, and it's growing significantly from there. So if you just look at general TV, I mean, we'd be a top 3 cable net, just if you think about scale of where we're at. You know, and I think with COVID, what has happened is we've seen a massive increase in streamers, but it's also musicians who can't tour. You know, one of the great things about Twitch is like now I can go and I can connect with fans that I couldn't before. And so we've seen a massive influx there. Athletes looking to stay engaged, And connecting with our fans has been a huge thing. We had one of the things that happened really early on that I thought was really kind of fun was we had some of the F1 drivers, Lando Norris, Charles Leclerc, and they were like, God, what are we going to do? We can't race. So they were running sims, and then they started running their sims on Twitch. And now you got like Lando Norris is pulling in 20, 30,000 concurrents, just watching him run his sims. And now he loves it because now he's got fans, and now these fans are becoming, you know, huge Lando Norris fans because they love this guy. He's got a great personality, super cool kid. He's a winner. And now, while he's not being able to fully train all the time, but he can actually train on his sim and actually do two things at once, which is continue to build that fan base of Lando Norris fans. So we've seen a lot of that different activity across the board. You know, another fun thing that happened kind of early on was, you know, Devin Booker was streaming, I think he was probably streaming at Call of Duty, and then somebody tweeted at him, one of his teammates, hey, I think we're on hiatus. And then it, you know, diverted into this 30-minute, what's mm-hmm. happening? Are we canceling the stream? Mm-hmm. And all this stuff is happening on Twitch. And so it's hard to pinpoint exactly what's happening because you've got millions of streams, but there's just so many of these different types of moments that have been happening.
Yeah, it seems like there's been more cultural, you know, whether it was way back kind of the moment with, you know, Drake and Juju and Ninja, you know, it does seem like things happen on Twitch, like cultural moments, things that hit the zeitgeist, things that are talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think people are starting to see that more. I mean, I think another one of those, Gary, was, you know, I'm going to screw up his name, Halvor Bjornsson, the mountain from Game of Thrones. He was like, you know what? I think I'm going to try to break the world deadlift record on Twitch. So he does it. And it's just like another one of those moments where it's like, God, it's amazing. You can't script those things, but people do that because he wanted to break that record with his fans and be able to share that with them. And he did it. So yeah, you're right, Gary, it's that zeitgeist. It's that moment. And it's a great place for people to do things with that are interesting for their communities.
Here's an important question. Do your parents now understand what you're up to?
Sort of. My mom still says I work for Amazon. So
it's easier for her.
And it just carries a little bit more cachet.
Gravitas. No, so I get it.
We let it slide. I think she looks at this stuff and she's like, I don't understand this video game thing, but it's okay. You know, it's like she gets it and she knows that we're happy and that things are growing and that, you know, I work for a company that's a wonderful company. And she's super proud of it. So yeah, they're getting it a little bit more, but it's still a little bit like, really? They're watching people play video games?
I mean, by the way, that argument has been the silliest and easiest argument for me to win within 3 seconds. Yeah. Gary, they're watching other people play video games? I'm like you watch people play golf?
Yeah.
Like this notion that like watching somebody else, I think it's stupid to have somebody else watch somebody else doing something. I'm like, you mean every sport?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is if you look back, okay, so I was in college in the 90s, you know, and Swingers was a big movie. I don't know, one of the
fun. Yes, of course.
They're playing, you know,
NHL 94. Yeah, I remember and, like, you
know, my friends, you know, we used to sit in somebody's room and we would play goal and we'd be fighting with each other. And we'd do that for hours. And we'd have like, you know, girlfriends would come over and we'd all just be sitting in this room and we'd just switch off and we'd talk a lot of smack with each other, but that's been going on since the 90s when none of this stuff was connected. And so like, yeah, it seems foreign to some folks, but like the nature of video games is it's a communal thing. It's a fun thing. It is a way to connect with your friends and fans. And so, yeah, it's definitely not.
Actually, on that note, Mike, what video game, because ironically you just brought up, if somebody asked what game would I feel most confident that I can compete at the highest level, meaning there is no game on earth that I'm even in the top, you know, 500,000 best players in the world. It's just not what I was meant to do. but if I had to play the game, it would probably be NHL 94, yep. Street Fighter with Blanka. I've got this thing down with Blanka.
That's funny, okay.
Or ironically, and I think it's hockey games for me, or ironically, ice hockey for Nintendo. Mm-hmm. But for you, what would you say, like, the single game that you would argue, whether you're good or not good, like I am at video games, is your strongest game and you would put up the best record up with?
Oof, that's a tough one. I'm older, Gary, so I work with a lot of, you know, 20, 30 year olds, and the hand eye coordination, the twitch, quick twitch element. This is like,
yeah, but you might be unstoppable at like fishing derby for Atari.
I'm pretty good at the old school. I'm really good at goal on okay. Nintendo. I'm good at like I'm good at most of the sports games.
Like the early
sports games. Yeah.
Like RBI baseball or like baseball for Nintendo.
Baseball and the early Maddens was my thing.
Do you remember Ring King? I was very good at Ring King.
I do remember Ring King. The current game that I'm actually not bad at is Fall Guys. So Fall Guys might be.
Oh, talk about that.
Fall Guys might be the, you know, we're hoping it might be the, you know, the 2020 version of Fortnite or other big games. It's this massive multiplayer game, 60 players, totally fun. You know, you go through a series of obstacles and it's the last character standing. We just did a rivals tournament. So my team runs these rivals tournaments. And it was the very first Fall Guy tournament. We had like pretty much every single one of our big creators playing. And it was like 650,000 people watching on Friday, this tournament. And we didn't even give a big prize pool because we were like trying to pull it together.
Yeah,
really fast. It was like $7,000, but you got people like, you know, some of our top streamers that are making a lot of money. They're fighting over this, you know, for them, you know, $7,000 is a lot of money for most people, but for them, you know, it's a modest yep. prize pool in the esports yep. world, but man, they were so excited about it. And it's just a fun game. And it's one of those ones where
pride is worth $1 billion.
exactly.
No, bragging awesome. Rights as well.
right.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us. We will be watching more Twitch so we can get more entertained and really engage with some of the gamers and streamers. We appreciate your time today.
Oh yeah, perfect. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
This was fun. Okay.
All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighted review is Love It by Yahir1018. Love the message. I like the short podcast. Right to the point. Keep going, bro. Helping me get my day started. Thanks to Yahir1018. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.